Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down Alan Saint-Maximin's debut with America as he sparks the comeback and seals, well, not necessarily seals the deal for America, but he definitely does make a major impact against a matchup in where, well, let's face it, it wasn't the prettiest of games for America, but there was a lot of resilience in that matchup, and we're going to break it down, and we're going to talk about everything we observed in that matchup. We'll talk a little bit about the transfer news. Not so much cooking yet, but something did break in the stratosphere of the transfer world that may give some Americanistas some positive news in the aspect of transfers. And of course, we'll close out the show with the game against Papa Pachuca, as it will be officially the last matchup that America plays in August, although I made that mistake last week in thinking it was against Atlas before the international break. So much and much Club America stuff to talk about in this hour that we have. And joining me today to talk all things Club America, it is none other than Chris Rivera. Chris, how are you, my friend?
Good. I've been having really bad migraines, so I don't know.
It's the weather, man, I'm telling you.
I was going to say, it's definitely because of the weather, so I'm good outside of that. So I don't know if it's, you know, first world privilege stuff that I complaining about, but hey, like I said, I'm doing good, man.
Yeah, no, hey, glad you're doing good. Glad you're doing better than last week, and glad to have you back onto the podcast. A lot to talk about when it comes to Las Águilas del América, and we lived quite a roller coaster of emotions this past week, and might as well just jump in and talk América versus Atlas. This is a game in where I think a lot of us were talking in regards to this being a, not necessarily a walk in the park, but a good moment for America to continue to kind of build on the momentum that they had after having a really good weekend away at Tigres in the Volcan, winning 3-1. This game almost seemed perfect within the first 25 minutes. America looked great. America looked dominant. You know, another game that got pushed back due to weather delays, but it didn't really seem to be fazing America much. We're on the score sheet after the 22nd minute of the match. You're thinking, America's really cruising at this moment. And then, I don't know what really happens towards the end of the match. Towards the end of the first half. But all of a sudden, it seems like, again, lapses of misconcentration from America's defense. And you're looking at Atlas equalizing right before the end of the first half. What went wrong for America? And what went right in your eyes, too, at the beginning?
Well, what I liked early on was how aggressive we were, right? And I think that's what kind of gave us our weakness. That is, it opened up the weakness, right? Because I think we were a little bit too much too aggressive in this game, and I feel like it backfired on us. Both goals were first goal. I think that's the one outside the box, right? Where he shot. That's the first goal where he shot. Who was it? Del Prete.
Yeah.
That goal.
Yeah.
It felt more like fast paced game, you know. Ramon, I don't want to fully blame him for the goal, but if you have to blame it on someone, it is him, because it seems that anytime he has that 1v1 with an attacker, he kind of always loses it, right? Again, I don't want to put too much blame on him because of the fact that it was just a perfectly placed shot and it was a golazo. Again, going back to what I was saying about how aggressive we were playing, I feel like that counter or that play becomes a thing is because we're playing too aggressive, right? And I think everyone was fully committed to the attack. That counter completely left us out of place. The second goal, remind me correct, it was again a mark. It was Ramon Juarez's mark, because I remember it was that's who I blamed, right? And after that, I just felt like, I think in the chat, AJ said, you know, it feels like it's over, right? And it did feel like that. I felt like, man, like, I said a 4-0, and now it feels like they're going to beat us 4-1, you know? Like, at that moment, it really did feel like Like, it was just a mess, right? It felt like they were pushing us back, and then we didn't have the players to maintain that defensive wall that we really, really, really are struggling in this season with.
It seems to be like that is the main concern for America, right? Maybe not so much now the main concern. I think sorry to sound like a broken record, but the main concern for America the past couple of weeks was, can we fix the defense and can we be good offensively? Right? Can we be good in transition? Can we find that final third pass that gets us in good positions and take our chances? We seem to be doing all right and doing much better on the attacking sense. But again, this defense seems to, again, be leaking goals, seems to have a lot of weaknesses that are being exploited, whether it's aerial duels or whether it's just man marking gone wrong. It was frustrating to see, like, the way that this defense slowly deteriorated. I mean, someone that we spoke about so highly of, Dagoberto Espinosa, within these past 2-3 weeks, just absolutely looked like a rookie. I mean, the man marking was really not there. Defensively, he didn't look as sharp. Offensively, I will say that he still looks like a very good option going forward. But when it came down to defending, he just didn't really look like it was his night for that, right? I mean, the third goal that gets disallowed, he is the one marking in the back post and does a pretty poor job at reading the cross. And I will say, even in the second goal that we concede, I know we spoke about Ramon Juarez and him not marking so tightly the Atlas player in the box, but if you look at it, Dagoberto should have been closing down that cross. That cross should have never have happened to begin with. So that is a concerning moment that I think a lot of Americanistas were thinking, what's going on here? What's going to happen? And it did feel like after that second goal, you thought, this is going to be hard to find a comeback. And even harder was when Atlas scored that third goal. You're thinking, game, match, set, and done. It's over. And America somehow gets a lifeline, right? It's a good call, right? He is offside by a margin, though, by a slim margin. But ultimately, gets called back. And I think we see a good response from America at that point, right? They say, okay, time to wake up. We need to respond. And Jardinet does so. He brings on three players, right? Kevin Alvarez, Isaias Violante, and of course, the debut of Alan Saint-Maximin. Your thoughts on that response?
It just gave me the response, right? Those subs. In the moment, I didn't really think much. It was more of a, okay, you know, it's good that we have options because all of them are good options. I know Kevin Alvarez gets slandered a lot. But I've been consistently saying, you know, Dagoberto is going to look really good offensively. He is not like every other. I have this conversation with almost everybody. When it comes to Mexican fullbacks, and I put quotations on fullbacks, none of them defend. We could sit down and talk about a list, and none of them are great defenders. The best defender, especially on that right side, is probably Jorge Sanchez. And people are going to be like, well, he's awful, this and that. Well, it goes to show how, right? One, you clearly rate players based off everything. So saying that isn't a compliment, like, overall. But the reality is, Jorge Sanchez is probably your Mexican fullbacks. He's probably the most complete right back. And then everyone else is not a great right back. So when people started praising Dagoberto, look, bro, and I'm sure you agree with this, when it comes to academy players, we romanticize them because we want to have that academy player go out and go to Europe and do this and that, right? There's a good margin of fans that just want that. And then reality kicks in and you start to see their weaknesses. You start to see how raw they are. You start to see all these things. And now this player that has the potential to be special and you're hyping them up to be special start to look more regular, right? And I think that's what happened with Dagoberto. If anybody was surprised that he wasn't going to be good defensively, well, they're not paying attention, right? So when Kevin Alvarez came in, I saw a player that was tracking back better, right? And I saw a guy that ended up impacting offense. And that's just based off experience, to be honest. I think Dagoberto could get there, but it's going to take a while. Violante, same thing. You know, I think you needed those explosive legs. And St. Max, what can I say, right? He delivered with everything I expected, you expected, and hopefully it's a weekly thing that we see out of him.
Absolutely. And we'll go into more detail about Alan St. Maximin's debut, his goal and contribution and all that good stuff. But I do want to address what we were speaking about right now, which was kind of the impact these subs had. The chip that kind of just kind of turned on with the rest of the team. I don't know if it was the fact that they saw Alan come into the pitch. They were like, okay, we have a second chance. We have a breather. We have a lifeline. I honestly thought he wasn't going to take out Brian Rodriguez and he was going to have Brian and Alan play on that, not necessarily on that wing, but together on the pitch. But it was interesting to see Brian come off. Regardless, you know, impact is impact. And it was good to see Kevin Alvarez have a little chip on his shoulder. He knows that his starting position is probably at this point gone and he needs to win it back. And I mean, what better way to do it than to contribute in the attack and also showcase that you have abilities to track back and defend and all that good stuff. So very good to see Kevin Alvarez kind of bring some hope back to a lot of us in that he can retain and regain his form. And it's a tremendous finish by Alvaro Fidalgo. I mean, the way where he places it is an absolute golazo, just top bins and phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And it was good. You thought, okay, 2-2, 70 plus minute. You're thinking there's time to get another one. We just need to be on our A game and we need to kind of go and chase that game. And America did so. I mean, did you have hope? Did you have feeling that, hey, we're going to get this back? Or did you think at one point we're just going to have to settle for a draw?
I had hope, but just because what I've been saying for a couple weeks, right? How everything isn't full and it isn't empty. It's 50-50. The attack has been amazing, bro. Like, I'm super satisfied with the attack. And I probably can't remember the last time I've been this. Obviously, the 9, right? I think that's always going to be a conversation. As long as Henry's injured, you're kind of looking at the 9 as like, okay, there's... Imagine if the 9 was scoring too. But since Jardinet has been here, I think this is probably the second best offense I've seen out of him. Which the first one, right? The one he first got here. And this
with
one.
With Quiñones?
Yeah, with Quiñones and Valdez and Sendeja and Henry. I think that's the best attack we had. And then this one has been amazing. And this hasn't even hit its peak. The issue is, are we scoring a lot because we either get scored on, or are we scoring a lot because we're capable of just scoring a lot on everybody, right? Because there's some teams that score a lot because they have to, because they don't trust their defense, or because they could do it against anybody. So that's the only question I have. But I did have hope. I think I'm very optimistic. But I think I speak for a lot of people when that third goal was announced, or they scored that third goal that eventually went away because of the offsides. That's where I was kind of had a downer moment where I was just like, they're closer to a fourth than we are to a first. That's how I felt in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe to answer a little bit of your question, maybe it's a little bit of both, that America is capable of scoring all these goals, but also has this kind of necessity to do so because there is this leak in the defense that they're thinking we might have to be the team that outscores our opponent in order to walk away with 3 points. But not to say that, you know, this America defense can't improve and it should improve, even though before this Atlas game, it was being talked as the best defense in the league. But Chris, I've been doing this for 7 years now, and every time, like every year, apparently we have the best defensive team in the league, and I still yet to see it with my very own eyes. The stats may show it, but...
Now you understand my argument about stats and what you see on the field, right? Because remember,
absolutely,
when Bruno and Aguilera, after Guido left, they had the same type of numbers. And what would we say? Liguilla's going to come and someone's going to expose it. And what happened? We'd get exposed, right? And this kind of, that's why you like you can't look at numbers and run with that. You have to look at the field, the film, right? You have to look at all that and then come to the conclusion, you know? And that has been my argument in a lot of our debates, right? Where it's like, the numbers might say this, but then you turn on the film and it's a whole different thing. And that's where I'm at. I don't think we have a very weak defense, but there is a lot of promise. That's where I stand with that.
Well, they're going to have a very good matchup against Pachuca to see if they can kind of make up for some of their errors and build up a little bit of confidence, right? So we'll see. But let's talk about someone who did have hope and who did have ambitions of America coming back and winning this game. And that was our friend Brian, who was on the podcast last week. He was true to his word. As soon as Alan St. Maximin came on with more than 20 minutes on the board, he said, lock in the bet. He's scoring. And lo and behold, did that man cash out. It was phenomenal. It was great. After the second goal goes in, you're thinking, okay, the team's rallying up. And you see the impact that Alan has, right? Not necessarily the best game, the most flashiest of games, but he's starting to settle in. he's starting to look like he's starting to settle in a little bit. This is in Guadalajara, of course, we get to see him play in Mexico City. We know the altitude's going to be a little bit of a challenge for him, but it looks like he's coming in. He's been very dedicated. He's been putting reps in the gym, even at home. The players had a day off yesterday, and he posted on his Instagram story that he ran almost 3 miles in like 30 minutes, just kind of like trying to get himself adjusted. And it's great to see a player come in so dedicated to wanting to play from the get-go. He's not trying to ease in. He's not trying to be like, give me like 3-4 weeks to kind of get accustomed to everything. He's like, no, from the get-go, I want to play. I want to do my part. And it showcased all, you know, he very much on the pitch wanted the ball. He wanted, he wanted to be a prolific player. He wanted to be an important player. And you kind of saw that from the moments that he stepped onto that pitch. He was asking for the ball. He was moving around. He was taking a couple players on. He always tried to push the ball forward, which is something that I really appreciate. He wasn't trying to back pass. And if he was, he was trying to make a one quick 1-2 to kind of open up into space and get himself into good moments and in good pockets where he can then explode. I mean, I won't even be able to do it justice if I sit here and try to narrate or try to explain how the goal went. Let's just look at it from this perspective, right? Let's just look at it. He does great to move on, pass the ball. And Violante, with a great assist. We're seeing it right there, Chris. What a goal.
Yeah. And then it doesn't even show the whole play because he's the one that starts it from the left side. He cuts in. He breaks a guy's ankle so nasty. He cuts in, makes a simple pass, right? But the thing about players like that is that they're aware of where they're inside the box, right? Who's around them and everything. And Violante's sent just a nothing crazy, but a good pass. Because a lot of people would have looked ahead and he looked straight at him. Saw no one was around and perfect shot.
Absolutely. And I mean, I exploded. I was watching the game and I exploded with emotion. I screamed at the top of my lungs and I was just like phenomenal. It was amazing. I haven't been this excited for a player to debut and score and I don't even know how long, Chris, but I mean, I feel like in general, that emotion is shared around, right?
Yeah. A lot of people, I think all the big pages were posting it, if I'm not mistaken. My whole feed was celebrating. Like, there's Americanistas who don't live tweet. I think everyone was live tweeting when that goal was scored, man. And you love to see it, you know, at the end of the day. There's debates if it's a bomba, not a bomba. People hating on him because he signed with America, calling him fat, saying that he never played for France. All these, like, just, you know how it is, bro. It's whatever's clickbait, they're going to just, you know, they're not going to talk about the quality. They're going to talk about whatever's clickbait. You know, it was a great moment. It was more like just a mixture of emotions of saying, look, like, you know, laughing at other people, but at the same time celebrating, like, yo, this was a great goal.
You know, one of the funniest things I saw on Twitter was someone had snapped a picture of Maxi, because I guess that's what he wants to be called by, because he doesn't want people to struggle saying Alan Saint-Maximin. So he says Maxi is acceptable. So one of the things I saw was the captured moment where Maxi was doing that backflip, and he was suspended in midair, and someone had put, if I was fat, was I able to do this?
Yeah.
And then it was just, it made me start laughing, because I mean, it's true. I mean, he's very athletic.
Yeah,
very athletic. And it's just it's great to see him coming into this and showcasing that he is who he claims to be, right? From the moment that he stepped onto that airport and spoke to the media and saw the fans, to what you saw against Atlas, he looks like he's a very good athlete and competitor, and he wants to come in and showcase that. Now, joining us is everyone's favorite Cowboy, Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, we were just talking about Alan Saint-Maximin and his impact onto the pitch and his great debut goal and his fantastic celebration that a lot of people are clocking it in at a minute and 32 seconds, which I don't know why that's such a big deal nowadays to celebrate. But give me your kind of 2 cents on, you know, his debut, what you saw, what you liked, and basically your emotions after he basically won the game for us.
Yeah, so I think just, I want to kind of start like looking at overall the team perspective. I think looking at the team, you know, obviously going up a goal, but then, you know, find ourselves down 2-1. I really think this team really fought, you know, to get back into somehow, which, you know, we kind of seen the team kind of struggle to do, you know, over recent matches. So I was really, really glad to see that. But seeing Maxi come in, you know, it felt like, you know, a new breath. It felt like, you know, something different, you know, and so in a good way, obviously. But just seeing his goal, which honestly, I was expecting an assist more than a goal, you know, but, you know, I'll take the goal all day. But just to see it go in, and I think y'all heard my reaction whenever I sent the voice memo in the group text. And you know, I was just screaming because, you know, just in awe of just like how he just comes in and it makes an impact right away, which is something that I think this team has really been needing. And so, you know, just happy overall. You know, I think the team, you know, just again, fought back, you know, to stay in it, you know, and didn't give up, you know, just found a way to push through and, you know, I walk away with 3 points.
Perseverance, right? I think that's a good way of kind of summarizing this matchup, right? A lot of perseverance from the club. I mean, from the team, from these players. And I think it's very well put, Dylan. There's a lot of good effort and something that we hadn't seen yet this season, right? To go 2-1 down after being 1-0 up. All these mix of emotions. Heads went down a little bit, but there was a lot of, again, maybe that would be today's episode's title, perseverance. The fact that, you know, they were able to kind of climb themselves back up to ultimately win the game. And I mean, once Maxi scores in the 89th minute, it's already minute 90 after his celebration's over. I think we all felt comfortable that América was going to be able to walk away with the victory, especially because Atlas were down to 10 men, right? You're thinking, even if América needs to park the bus, we should be more than capable of walking away with the 3 points. And lo and behold, we got a second penalty after Victor Dávila was very selfishly hogging onto a ball where he could have easily passed it to St. Maximin to score his second, but gets tripped inside the box. Free calls penalty. I see no issue with that. And then, of course, here comes a very debatable moment that has been kind of being spoken about in the América Twitter world, at least what I've been seeing. Fidalgo gets the ball and gives it to Victor Dávila to take the penalty. Prior to him doing that, St. Maximin comes up and asks Fidalgo if he can take it. And Fidalgo just kind of, you know, doesn't really brush him off, but kind of, I think, tells him, hey, I'm going to give it to Dávila. He won it. Yada, yada, yada. And Maxi's cool with it, right? He's like, all right, cool. I just wanted to ask. But a lot of people on Twitter were a little bit upset about Fidalgo doing that because they thought, give it to Maxi. It's his debut. It's his moment. Let him get on the score sheet again. Where do you fall, Dylan, on all this controversy around Fidalgo, the captain, in this moment, giving it to Dávila? Should it have been Maxi instead? What are your thoughts, Dylan? Dylan, you're muted, I think.
Oh, my bad.
All right, there.
It's one of those things where I don't really have a whole big opinion, nor probably an opinion that contributes to what's been something that's been controversial the way it is. I just see it is what it is, and even a more comfortable lead so late in the game, you know, just to walk away 3 points, you know, I just see it as, you know, it's just really just an opportunity for somebody. Although I was kind of like, you know, really Dávila at this point, just to see him have his penalty saved, but, you know, able to just finish it up and clean it up, you know, so it is what it is really to me.
Yeah. I mean, from a perspective, I think me and you agree, Chris, from a captain perspective, I thought Fidalgo did the right choice, right? When you're thinking about the team as a collective, and there is one player that is down in the mud right now, it would be Dávila, right? So much is circulating around his future, right? Because of his impact or lack of impact at América. So kind of walk me through your train of thought in Fidalgo.
The way I saw it was there's a player, right, in Dávila that is trying to win the fans over, who is in a very bad form, I guess you could say. Even though I don't think it's been that bad, but it definitely hasn't been impactful for a foreigner, which we could have a whole different debate on our foreigner impact, right? But point is a guy that has been booed when he's been subbed out or subbed in. He's right now, he's probably the least favorite América player. And the way I saw it was Fidalgo was saying, okay, look, just give it to him. He scores, he'll get some confidence. People will cheer, you know, and everything's going to be good from there on out, right? I don't know if you guys remember, once upon a time, Silvio Romero was going through something similar and they gave him a penalty, right? If I'm not mistaken, it was against Pumas where he missed it. But it's one of those things where you give it to a player basically saying, here, score, and you'll get your let's see if we go get your confidence back, right? Because what they say, the saying is, a goleador just needs one goal to get back into that mentality, right? So the way I saw it, it was like that. It was basically, look, we already have the lead. We don't score this. It doesn't matter for the team. He's not risking anything. It's basically a confidence thing. He misses it, but he scores a tap-in right after. So hopefully, you know, that gets him in the right state of mind. And again, I'm not going to criticize Fidalgo for that. As cool it would have been for St. Max to score another goal, he already had his moment. You know, right now is to uplift the teammate, and you can't complain about that.
And at the end of the day, I think Maxi would be cool with that, right? Or he actually is. He was cool with the fact of decision. And I mean, you're a new player. You're coming into a team that has been won 3 back-to-back championships. You know, there's a much bigger unity involved here than you just coming in and waltzing in and saying, hey, you know, can I have the penalty, you know? So I am on the side of, yeah, I think Fidalgo did the right thing as a captain. And when you think about a captain, you know, it's someone who's kind of selfless, who looks out for the team rather than for themselves. And that was very much a captain move. And so I applaud Fidalgo for doing so. And like you mentioned, Chris, misses, but scores the tap in 4-2. Nice little stat padding there. Ref blows the whistle. 3 points at the end of the day. And I think ultimately that's what we wanted, right? It wasn't necessarily who's going to score the debut, all that stuff. Yes, we care about that. But at the end of the day, 3 points were important. And Dylan, as you like to remind us in each episode, America continues to be undefeated in the league.
That is correct. And I'll say it again, you know, especially after coming from Leagues Cup, I was like, I just feel the form on that international level is just like down bad. It's obvious. But like when it comes to the league, I just feel like we play different and we play a little bit better.
Absolutely. And that was America's 90 minutes at the Estadio Jalisco. It was an entertaining game, to say the least. I think it will definitely be remembered for many years to come, especially because of the debut of Alan St. Maximin. And let's see where this game carries America forward. So anything else, gentlemen, to add on before we wrap up this segment?
Well, one thing, just because I kind of want to touch on it. Were you guys expecting the atmosphere to be just like that? Because for some reason, when we were talking about the game, I wasn't expecting, like, obviously, Coca was returning, right? So you kind of did expect something big from their barra. But I thought that game was like they gave it a Clásico name, but it did have the feel of it, you know? Like, we didn't even talk about the whole Clásico name that they gave this matchup. But it did feel like a very high atmosphere type game, you know, which I normally don't feel for this matchup like that.
No, you know what? It's because I think a lot of it has to do with Coca returning back to Atlas, especially for his first game back at the Estadio Jalisco for Atlas. I think if this game gets played again 12 months from now, you don't see that same similar entrance. And if you do, maybe it's not as hostile. I think it's just the reality in the moment. And it was good to maybe have it at this stage, right? The players got to feel an electric environment that necessarily wasn't on their side. And again, here's the word, a lot of perseverance to get through that moment and kind of walk away with a very good result after maybe not so good end to the first and start to the second half.
Yeah, and I'll add that, you know how we were talking about first big test and all that? I think this game, because of all that, became a test for America. I don't think we were looking at it like that before this game. And when the game happened, it did feel like, okay, this is another, like, we got to treat it just like we treated the Tigres matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah. And, you know, Dylan, we talk about this team necessarily not being the best on the road to begin the season, but now back-to-back wins in back-to-back road games.
Yeah, it just felt like, you know, the tide's turning a little bit too. We talk about Maxi a lot, you know, coming in and bringing something different to the team. So I wonder if, you know, if that was kind of felt in the locker room in Guapa, you know, whenever he came, you know, before the Tigres game, and then, you know, getting to make his debut and seeing the impact that he did. I wonder if, you know, things are kind of shifting a little bit in the locker room in a good way.
Absolutely. And I think it is. And I think we're going to reap the rewards of it for, you know, many more games to come. And I think it's just about managing things correctly. And Jardine, I think we all trust for him to be able to do that well, as he has continued to do so for so long. But that is America versus Atlas. 3 points on the board. Phenomenal job by the team to, again, persevere and get through these obstacles. And like Chris mentioned, a test that no one really was expecting. But it is what it is. Now you move on to the next matchup. Coming up next, we're talking transfer rumors. And then we'll end off the show against a very anticipated matchup against Papa Pachuca. Americanistas, today's episode is brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar, the official home of Club America in the United States. Every game this season will be streamed at Tom's Watch Bar. That's right, all the games, all the time, meaning you always have a place to catch our Aguilas in action. So, head over to your local Tom's Watch Bar to experience an America game like never before. Visit tomswatchbar.com/events for more information. Thank you to Tom's for sponsoring today's episode. Let's talk transfer updates, transfer rumors. Let's see what's going on in the world of Las Aguilas and America with potentially any more moves. As we talked about it last week, don't hold your breath on anything really truly happening until something happens in Coapa as far as exits. Unless people leave, we're not going to bring anybody in, specifically foreigners. Right now, the breaking news that we have is everything stays the same so far. No one's really leaving foreigner-wise. The one name that has been thrown out there, and I'm not saying it's the most credible source out there, but the one name that is sounding to potentially be leaving is Néstor Araujo. Chris, talk about him potentially going to Pumas to replace a center back position that is going to be vacant due to one of their center backs leaving soon. How much traction does this really have?
As of right now, there's no real, I guess, reliable source, right? The guy reporting it, John Barbón, he has hit and other stuff, but it's just America stuff. We're super picky. You know, we can't sit here and just tell you guys all the rumors in the world, because reality is there's a lot of clickbait, right? This one, kind of, if you kind of put two and two together, it does make sense that they're interested in a center back because one is leaving. And you would imagine that their coach is interested in this type of player, especially if I'm not mistaken, they probably did play with each other, right? Did they? You think they with the national team, they crossed paths? Or?
I think if they did, it was very, very minimal.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they crossed paths in Liga MX.
Yeah, but for sure in Liga MX. Again, what he's saying, it's a salary issue. Wouldn't surprise me. But I also wouldn't be surprised if America does look in sending him elsewhere and having him play and maybe even covering majority of his contract. I wouldn't be surprised personally. I think it's a player that hasn't been going to the bench, who has cost you games. At this point, you have to get rid of him, right? And I do think it opens up a roster spot for Miguel Vasquez, who has been playing with the youth. And I do think, you know, it gives him that first team roster spot that I think a lot of fans have been asking for.
Dylan, what do you say on this? You buying or selling this?
I'm buying a little bit. I'm not fully invested, but I'll buy some stock. Just because we've kind of heard this in the past, I think it's a player that's high on the list for the board. And I think for a lot of fans, too, that, you know, if we're going to get rid of somebody, it's Araujo, you know. Obviously, the high wages, some of the things Chris stated, you know, costing us some games, you know, especially this season. I don't really remember him being on the bench as much. I know he probably wasn't last game. So it's just, you know, taking up space, you know, it's going to free up some monies that we can use elsewhere. So, I'll buy a little bit. But again, it's one of those things, too, like Chris said, you know, we're just kind of keeping an eye on it, you know, because we've kind of seen this in the past already and nothing's ever really came to fruition. So
absolutely. And I think it's always those high wages, right? Those high wages always seem to be the one tricky situation. Because, I mean, if you're Néstor Araujo, you're making a boatload of money and you don't even have to move a finger. Like,
right.
I digress. But still, I want to buy a lot of this. I really do. Like, you know, a lot of America fans want to. But again, we'll vet more information as the days go by. I'm sure this is going to have to get resolved quickly. Not to say that the transfer window is closing anytime soon, but I'm sure Pumas would want to get stuff done quickly, right, to integrate him into his team and not miss more of the season. So if that does come to fruition, we will let you guys know. So make sure you guys follow us over at Eagle Eye Podcast and on all our social media handles. We'll keep you guys up to date with what's going on in the world of Las Aguilas and America. Now, I know that there was some talk about maybe a swap deal for Victor Dávila going to Necaxa and us getting Palavecino. Yeah, I don't think that's anything tangible, right?
No, I haven't seen anything, honestly. I think the Palavecino thing is super complicated. Wouldn't be surprised if the player looks at it as a good payday, a move up in team. I do think the player wants it, but Necaxa's in a situation where they get rid of him and it's kind of accepting, yo, the season's over, right? And I don't think they're open to that. And I also don't think they look at Dávila as a need, right? So it's a complicated thing. Again, salaries in this situation, both players have a say, and I don't think Dávila is necessarily looking to leave, right? He gets paid good. His national team's already eliminated, so it's not like he's fighting for a roster spot. But at the same time, you know, he's probably looking at it as, you know what, I came into this team with these high expectations, and a decline in teams is just going to kind of end my career, right? So I think for him, I just don't see it happening. I think it's a complicated thing. Unless someone comes in and gives him the contract that he has and pays us what we want, I think that's the only way he leaves.
Well, I guess we'll keep an eye on that, right? Look, again, don't hold your breaths here. Don't think that this is going to be some magical miracle moment where America is going to find a way to bring in Paolo Vecino and Guido Rodriguez. You know, it's just not the reality that we live in. And if America does bring in another player, expect it to be towards the latter end of the transfer window, right? I mean, when the close is on the 12th of September, we're going to be barely entering September in just a moment, you know, I think 4 or 5 days from now. But there's still time in the market to get things done. The transfer window for Liga MX does close a little bit later than the European market, for example, like the Premier League. Yeah, the Premier League closes in like the 2nd or something like that. Don't quote me on that, but it does close a lot much sooner than the Liga MX does. So there is wiggle room right there for something magical to happen. Not to say that it will, but we'll see. Again, we'll keep you guys up to date. Make sure you guys follow us at Eagle Eye Podcast on all our social media platforms. We'll make sure to give you the best source possible when it comes to the transfer rumors. But all right, gentlemen, let's move on into our next segment, into our closing segment. Hey, Americanistas, Ivan here, and I wanted to invite you guys to sign up to our weekly newsletter if you guys haven't done so already. Make sure you guys head over to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter, and that way you guys can sign up and subscribe, and you guys are up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. We give you guys a full weekly recap every Friday of the ins and outs of Coapa. And of course, we keep you guys up to date with what's going on in our world as well regarding the podcast. So if that is something you guys are interested in, that's something you guys want to do, make sure you guys head over again to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter, to keep up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas en América. So this is obviously the game that's going to close out the end of August. First of all, I want to apologize to everybody. I made the same kind of statement last week when I thought Atlas was the last game before the international break. That was a big oops on me. Obviously, it's going to be Pachuca before the international break. But gentlemen, I think the narrative continues to stay the same. America needs to close out kind of this regular season before the international break on a high note, right? You did a tremendous job against Tigres. Everyone was already knocking you out, thinking you were not going to be able to win that game. You surprised maybe not a lot of people, but, you know, you showcase that you're still a very good candidate team. Then you go up and you do a phenomenal job at Atlas to kind of dig yourself out of the same hole that you put yourself in. And now you're thinking, you're going up against a very good Pachuca side who has, what, maybe lost one game? And they're looking to kind of get back into the rhythm of things. So, Chris, this is an important game all around.
Yes, a very important game. We're going to use this word a lot, especially in these couple weeks. But it's another test. And I think this is probably going to be the most complicated test out of every team that we play, because it's not like a big rivalry. It's not a fan base, right? It's more of that annoying team that we just seem to get overcomplicate things, right? We'll be in the clouds. We'll be flying, you know, with the birds and everything. And here comes Pachuca to just drag us down and kill every vibe that we have. And that's usually what it is, right? And right now they're doing good. If they were doing bad, maybe these comments would be different. But right now, the way I look at it, this is the most complicated test that we have in the season. Them and Toluca. But I think as of right now, it's them. More them than Toluca.
Yeah, and we don't have to worry about Toluca until the last day of the season. You know, I saw you shaking your head a lot with what Chris was saying. I'm assuming you're on the same page. This will be kind of the biggest test for America so far.
Yeah, and like you kind of said, Ivan, you know, the last one before the international break, you know, this is a way, you know, to continue this momentum and go out on a bang, you know, before players break, you know, that might leave, you know, or players that are staying in Coapa, you know. So I think, you know, there's a I think there's a lot on the line too. Whenever you look at the table, you know, because it's pretty tied up top. You know, I think Monterrey sitting at 15, and then what is it's us and Cruz Azul with like 14, and Pachuca's right there at with 13 points. So you know, it's gonna be tight. You know, I think this game could define how things shake out. You know, toward the end of the season when it comes to a potentially goal differential too. You know, you never know how it's gonna shake out, especially just a point apart. You never know if this team's going to drop points or, you know, if they tie and they split the points. So I think it's going to be important overall around, you know, just the implications for the future table standings.
Absolutely. I mean, let's just paint it out how we're talking about it. It's a six-pointer in a sense, right? Dylan did a phenomenal job kind of illustrating how the top of the table is looking very tight. There's really minimal margin for error. You're looking at teams breathing down your neck. You and Cruz Azul are the only teams that are right now at the moment unbeaten, but it doesn't mean that, you know, teams like Pachuca or teams like Monterrey can get away from you. And, you know, even though we beat Tigres and even though they had a poor matchup against Mazatlan, they're still breathing down your neck at 10 points. I mean, there is a lot that can change along the lines, and they have a game in hand too. So a lot to kind of think and process here, but ultimately, you have to go out there and perform and put everything on the line on that pitch and go out there and win, right? Let's pray and hope that there's not another delay. I mean, the weather's been crazy in Mexico. I don't know who or what they sacrificed to the rain gods, but they are beyond blessed right now at the moment. So let's just hope the thunderstorms calm down a little bit and we don't have like a 10 p.m. kickoff for us, Chris. That would be ridiculous on a Saturday night.
Hey, brother. We're probably the least people to complain because other people's time zones are way worse.
Absolutely. I mean, look at this matchup. It's 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern. 10 for you, Dylan. So it's a late one. And I get it. Saturday night, right? Majority of people won't be complaining about like the kickoff time. But if you're having to wait for kickoff at 1 a.m., you start to ask questions. So
yeah, because I'll watch the highlights in the morning.
Yeah, a lot of our East Coast friends will definitely do that. Shout out to Ricardo, who's living in Florida, who I always see his tweets whenever we have a delay. And he's just like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make it to midnight with America. But yeah, going back to this matchup, I think you need to continue to ride that high, right? And then how is that going to look like on the pitch, Chris? Do we necessarily go back to this back three formation? Do we go back to this 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3? Something a little bit more kind of natural. Where do you think Jardine is going to line himself up?
They're sticking with the 5-2-3, honestly. I think, again, bro, I don't think Kevin did enough to bench Dagoberto, and Dagoberto's not there to defend. And to be quite honest with you, another thing that I should have brought up earlier, St. Max isn't starting this game, but one thing that I noticed that he does better than Brian is have a connection with Borja. And that is key for this formation that Jardine wants to play. Because Borja runs behind you, and a lot of time Brian ignores him. St. Max didn't do that. Obviously, we don't want to talk too much about St. Max, but my point is, the system is showing that a 5-back line, or 3, how I say it, is the way to go with Jardine right now. I think right now you have to have the wing back just go and attack. And the only way to do that is having Dagoberto and having Borja out there doing that and having your wingers cut in and play more inside than out. And so for me, I think he's going to stick to his lineup that he's been using. It's hard to see. As long as we don't have a defensive midfielder, it's hard for me to see them going back with 3 midfielders. I know people will say Jonathan Dos Santos, but I think Jardine is kind of trying to normalize going away from that, because I think it's fair to say Jonas' last season is this season, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's starting to grow on me, the formation. I'm starting to see a little bit more clear what the vision is for what he wants going on the attack. The only thing that frustrates me is the midfield kind of gets lost in transition. Fidalgo and Chiquito both want to do the same thing, which is push up. And you can't necessarily do that when you're leaving so much gaps in between. You know, it's one thing for Atlas to exploit you. Just imagine what a Toluca or what a Cruz Azul is going to do to you. I feel like you need to find balance within that formation if you are going to do that, right? And I think players like Israel Reyes are so crucial that can kind of fill in those moments when both of them go on their kind of scavenger hunt up top. But then you lose all purpose of having 3 center backs, because now one of your center backs acting like a center defensive mid, you're stuck with just two defenders. So ideally, this would work if we had a better partner for Fidalgo, which I think is ultimately the player we want as kind of that creative midfielder. But I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I was going to add, you know, I've seen a lot of tweets, and I'm sure you have too, where they're starting to look as Israel Reyes as that defensive midfielder. He's not necessarily the defensive midfielder. There's still three center backs. The thing is that he's going forward, right? So I think that's kind of the strategy that Jardinel wants to do. You're kind of disguising that center back's defensive midfielder with Israel Reyes. And it might be his best position. I remember when he was in Puebla, that's what they played him as, right? And that's what ended up getting him signed with us. So I think there's a lot. If we were to break down film, we'll probably notice a lot more things than we normally do. Because like I said before, right, we talk five back line, but it all depends on who you are on your wings, right? And that's why I always have this argument with, or not argument, but this debate with you guys, where it's like, it's realistically speaking, it's three defenders and everyone else is going forward. But if you kind of look at it, it's in a sense, it's not necessarily three center backs either. It's two center backs and a defensive midfielder. So it's just, like I said, if we break down film, we'll probably see a lot more. But Israel Reyes is doing that. He is being that cushion for the center backs.
Yeah, I see it. And he fits so well in that role because he is a center back who is very gifted with his feet, right? With his vision. He can pick out a pass. And so he's very comfortable with carrying the ball forward. And I like that, you know. Cáceres, too, can do it sometimes, but he can't pick a pass like the way Israel Reyes can. So we'll see if that is the case. Dylan, if you're jetting there, how bold of a statement would you make if you start Maxi in this game? And do you start Maxi?
Man, I mean, I do see where Chris is coming from when he talks about the chemistry with Borja and Maxi. But to me personally, I feel like, you know, we need to get him a little bit. We obviously want him to play, but I don't know if starting is the right thing, because I just kind of curious to where he is, you know, in terms of stamina, you know, where he is in his conditioning, especially playing, you know, there in Mexico. So I mean, I would love to see him come off the bench again. I think that's probably the better call, also have him come off the bench. I think maybe you get through this game, you go through the national break, and I think that first game out, that's whenever you start him.
Absolutely. And there should be two players that should be playing out of their skin after the performance that St. Maximin had, and that is either Ryan Rodriguez or Alejandro Sendejas. One of those two are going to have to give. And in order for them to continue to have their slot in the starting 11, I need them to just ball out completely. I need to see the best of Brian, which we have been seeing, right? I'm not going to sit here and criticize him and say that he hasn't been showing up. He's been arguably our best player going forward. But now you're talking about Alejandro Sendejas, who I think should be in a great mood after having received finally his call back up to the U.S. men's national team. So I think he should be up for this game more than anyone. And seeing how, you know, Maxi came in and potentially could be taking his slot in the starting 11. Not to say that he's going to be playing on the right-hand side, but could easily be transitioned to that number 10 role, and Sendejas could be seeing the bench. So we'll have to see what happens. But from that perspective, I do want to see two players that are going to have a lot of urgency and are going to do a lot more than what we've seen already. And I know that's a tall task for Brian Rodriguez since he has been doing a lot, but hey, this is America, and that's just kind of the standards that we have at the moment and will continue to have, not just right now. But ultimately, I think if America can plant themselves good the way that they did against Atlas, right? And if they can manage the game like they did against Tigres, then this is a very winnable game all in all.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I mean, I think you know, especially with this momentum. I mean, how do you kill this momentum? I mean, things have to go like really south. I mean, I think this team is playing, you know, good football right now. You know, I think obviously we probably see some things, you know, we can nitpick, or we can see things, you know, let's kind of clean this thing up a little bit more. But I don't think you really can complain considering how the season has started to where this team is now. I think this team's comfortable. I think this team is gaining momentum at the right moment too. Cause like you said, you know, this win against Pachuca, you know, coming down to and then going to the international break. I mean, I feel like, you know, that's going to be a perfect spot, you know, to kind of like I don't want to say like hold the momentum, but like kind of give it a brief pause to like regroup and like watch it all back and realize, you know, how much this team has kind of grown from the first or not until now, and then realize, you know, okay, how do we keep this going? You know, what can we build off of even more?
Yeah. And Chris, I think the one thing we would all agree, right, is the cleaning up of the defense, right? Just these little mistakes, these little errors, right? Ramon Juarez, I think, needs to have a much better game this time around. Not to say that I want to scapegoat him for the game against Atlas. He had a tremendous job against Tigres. There's moments where I think he could have done a little bit better, but still, I digress. A player that I think needs to step up, right? But someone who was very heavily criticized was Luis Angel Malagón. Look at the moment he's living right now. These things are important. Criticism is important. And to step up and showcase that you can handle the criticism is even bigger. So, again, this defense needs to be worked on. Hopefully, against Pachuca, it showcases that we're in a good moment. And we can just kind of go on from there. So, give me your scoreline prediction for Saturday's match.
Before I give my prediction, can I give you guys the insights of this game?
Go for it.
So for America, they have scored 12 goals in their last 5 matches. They haven't lost in 5 matches, and Brian Rodriguez has created the most big chances for America this season with 4. Pachuca have scored 7 goals in their last 5 matches. They're ranked 2nd away from home this season. And Cadiz has created the most big chances for Pachuca with 3.
Okay.
And my prediction is a 3-2.
God, more goals like that? Ugh, okay. Here I was hoping for a much more solid defensive work, but I guess I'll take 3 points if it's 3-2 to us. All right. Another St. Maximin Day goal or no?
I'm going to say assist. I'll bet on an assist, not a goal, though.
Okay. I like it. Well, that's what he was here more for. Predominantly, right, for his assists than his goals. Dylan, what's your prediction?
I'll be a little bold here, Ivan, and I'll give you what you want to. I'll go with a 2-0 win.
Ah, love it. 2 goals on the night, clean sheet. Love it. Absolutely love it. I guess I'll go a little bold too. I'm not backing up for a clean sheet here, although I would love it. But maybe on a night where things just go really well for America and you kind of close off and you put a little cherry on top for the month of August and going 3-1, right? And just with our prediction here, how we were just talking about this game, how difficult we think it might just be for us to predict 2 goals on the night with a clean sheet, 3 goals for me and 3 goals for you. It sounds like it's going to be a walk in the park for America's offense, but I don't think necessarily will be the case. But if America is on their A game on the night, I do think that we can clear anybody in the league, not just
Pachuca. I'll just say too, because like last week, Ivan, I mean, like we talked about like being like, well, I think it was two weeks ago. We talked about being cautiously optimistic, and I feel like that optimism is growing more. I don't feel like it's just, you know, cautious. I feel like, you know, it's just like positive, clean optimism at this point for this team the way it's gone these past couple weeks.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you guys want to hear more, that episode is a really good episode. If you guys want to go back and listen to that one, it's you guys kind of get to hear our thoughts and perspectives after a terrible Leagues Cup. And now Dylan's spot on. The way that we're speaking about games now, the way that we're talking about this team, it feels a little bit day and night. But I guess the work on the field has showcased that. So nothing more to say, but hopefully we get to see a good matchup. I didn't say this game is a pretty late one, right? 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 Central. 11 o'clock Eastern. This game will be streamed on TUDN, VIX, CBS Sports Network, and on Paramount Plus as well. So for those of you who want to continue to watch the game in Spanish and have the great Carlos Reynoso be your color analyst, head on over to TUDN, watch it on VIX if you're on the go. And if you want to see more of the English commentating side of things and see how CBS Sports is handling all this, head on over there. I think they did a phenomenal job against last week with America versus Atlas. I enjoyed the commentary, even though it was a solo commentary. But I digress. Whichever one you look at, you'll be fine. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But make sure you guys go follow us over on Twitter, as AJ does a phenomenal job with live tweets, giving you guys goals, gifts, and reactions and all that good stuff. So shout out to AJ. And anything else, gentlemen, to add on before we wrap it up here?
I think I'm good.
All right. Dylan's good.
Everything good. Everything good. Yeah, everything good.
All right. Well then, with that said, I think we had a very good discussion. We had a very good conversation when it comes to Las Águilas del América. Alan Saint-Maximin hopefully can continue his good run of form and showcase it against Pachuca. And I'm sure he'll have some very good minutes against DC United next week whenever we do have that friendly in the States. So with that said, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking out the time, Chris and Dylan, for coming on and talking all things América with me.
Yes, sir. Always.
Yeah, no problem. Always fun.
Always fun. All right. We'll be back next week to talk all things Copa América. We'll give you guys an up to date of what to expect from this friendly against DC United, who is going to be available and all that good stuff as we near the Clásico de Clásicos. All right. You guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba la América. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.